One of the long-term issues that Investigative Post has been covering is the prevalence of radioactive hotspots in Niagara County. Back in July, reporter Dan Telvok wrote about Lewiston residents John Grace, whose son has to carry around a radiation meter for his government job. That meter would beep every time John Grace's son drove up his gravel driveway. The next installment of the story is due out today. Joining us is founder, executive director, and editor of Investigative Post, Jim Heaney. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Trying to stay warm.
Yeah. Do you guys have snow out there in Buffalo?
Just the dusting. We're a lot tougher than those guys in New York who are apparently panicking over a foot. A foot's, you know, like a heavy dusting, but, you know.
A foot is a heavy dusting. Buy canned goods.
Yeah.
So what's the story then with the radioactive hotspots in Niagara County? That's a pretty scary headline there.
Yeah, well, you know, Dan's original reporting talked about how the federal government, you know, several decades ago, identified a number of radioactive hotspots, primarily in Niagara County, and his follow-up story focuses on a report that an investigator did back in the late 70s. That said, that concluded that there are probably a lot more than the number of hot spots, which I recall. I think the feds found that there were 62 hot spots. This private investigator hired by a property owner in Niagara County back in the late 70s, based on interviews he did with folks, concluded that this stuff may be all over the place, that the contractors who were, you know, doing road work and driveways and any place you needed gravel, basically, you could get what turned out to be slag with some radioactivity in it. And it was, you know, according to this report, it's like all over the place.
So where did it originally come from? I know we talked about this back in July, but remind me.
Yeah, there were. It's the byproduct of processing, ore processing, and the slag or the byproduct of that processing contained radioactivity and higher than what you would find in the normal environment here. That's not to say it was necessarily, you know, like Hiroshima hot, but it was higher than what you would normally find in the environment. There are lawyers who are working with engineers to see if there's a lawsuit to be had over all this, and Dan also spoke with them, and their conclusions are that the government should have and continues to need to look at this in a, you know, in a serious light and try and make a determination whether or not the elevation is high enough that there ought to be more remediation going on than there has been.
How high is it?
Well, you know, it could be, you know, as minor as 2, 3, 4 times the normal levels found in the environment. There are some cases where it's like 75 times. I mean, it's like the guy's driveway. I mean, you know, which is, and there are, one of the things that Dan found that's interesting is what's starting to happen are property owners are starting to have a hard time being able to sell their property.
Well, who wants to buy a radioactive property?
Yeah, I mean, there's one gentleman who's in the story, and the story, by the way, is posted online as we speak at investigativepost.org. You know, one guy, the EPA is coming and put a radon detector in because there's a suspicion that this radioactive material is underneath the basement. You can't exactly remediate that. And Dan talked to 3 or 4 different property owners who have either attempted to sell or want to sell, and, you know, good luck finding a buyer.
Yeah,
you know, not going to happen. So you know, there's a question as to whether or not there is a public health hazard here, But clearly there are homeowners who already are feeling the financial pain.
And we should note that the EPA has said that there is no safe level of radioactivity.
Yeah, it's kind of like lead in water. Anything is not good. You know, the state has over the years maintained that these levels found in Niagara County do not pose any kind of public health danger. But the EPA is, starting to remediate a couple sites that, the state has apparently maintained for years do not pose a problem. So, which way is it? and Susan, better than anybody what the state health department's track record is when it comes to poo-pooing public health problems.
Yeah, so what's going to happen with the folks who are they suing, and who are they suing? I mean, where did the slag initially come from?
Well, nobody's suing anybody. They're kind of average Joes that are just kind of stuck and scratching their heads and trying to figure out what do we do. It's evolving at this point in terms of what really needs to happen is someone in government needs to. And Chuck Schumer, when Dan's original story ran back in July, Chuck Schumer asked the EPA to look into this, and the EPA has under this date is not, and I suspect with the change of administrations in Washington that they're not about to rush into doing anything about it. But somebody in government needs to make this a priority and put some scientific resources into it and determine where this stuff is, at what levels, and is it at a sufficiently high enough level that it makes sense to remediate more than just the couple of spots that they're remediating right now.
Right. And
so, it's potentially really scary stuff, or it might not be so scary, but the uncertainty over this, I think, is what's causing people some concern. And again, these homeowners, and I think there'll be more and more of them, when you've got your lifetime savings tied up in a house that you can't sell anymore, that's a problem.
Yeah. One of the interest, I'm looking at the piece right now online at investigativepost.org, and you have some archival material from Union Carbide up on the website. How is Union Carbide involved here?
They were the producers of some of the slag, and according to the private investigators report, they sold that slag to people who then use it for fill. So they were kind of the source of at least a portion of this.
It's sort of crazy that people were paying for the fill that ultimately was radioactive.
Yeah.
Why were private investigators hired back in 1979?
There was a property owner who had concerns about the potential of radioactivity on his property. He owned a commercial property, so he went out and hired somebody to start, talking to contractors and other folks. And the private investigator is no longer with us, uh-huh. So Dan was not able to speak with him, but he was able to obtain the report that he produced. It was a couple of reports, and the state acknowledged that they are in receipt of the report as well. But again, the state, the state, as is typical, is saying almost nothing about it. Again, if you want a comment from state health department or Department of Environmental Conservation, good luck. You don't even get name, rank, and serial number. But they did acknowledge that, they've got the report as well. But again, they're maintaining that there's nothing to be concerned about.
In other pollution cases, like in Hoosick Falls, for example, it's never just one company because there's a history of companies that buy the land from other companies. And Dan goes into some detail about how, the one company was purchased by another, which was acquired by Hooker Chemical, which became Occidental Petroleum, which was a part of the Love Canal case, was it not?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, the trail of names becomes a blur after a while.
But it's hard then to try to assign blame.
Yeah, because there's been a string of ownership, and some of the companies aren't even around anymore. I think the larger issue here isn't necessarily where did this come from, but at what level is it now present, and is it at a level that is concerning, and it doesn't make sense, financial sense, and to remediate. I suppose if you have a small problem with a big price tag, that's one question. But there are others, individuals. I mean, there's one guy who would basically need to have his driveway dug up and that material removed. That's not a million-dollar remediation.
But we're not sure how expansive the problem is.
Yeah, exactly.
So the EPA has already spent some money cleaning up a bowling alley and another site. But that is a small section of this problem, and that was $8 million. So how much could this cost?
Your guess is as good as mine. Until there's been some sort of a kind of a comprehensive look at just how prevalent this stuff is and at what levels, that's really impossible to say. But again, I can't emphasize enough that at this point, nobody in government has really stepped up and said, hey, we need to look into this and we need to get some answers. And to the extent, the state in this, according to the EPA, they can only handle stuff that's referred to them by the state. The state continues to maintain, problem. What problem? There is no problem. And maybe they're right, and maybe they're not.
But let's figure it out and get the word out.
There's a difference of opinion on this.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we have a couple more minutes, Jim. What else are you guys working on?
Dan's got, we're all working on good stuff. Daniela Porat, my reporter who's focused on criminal justice matters, is wrapping up work on a story on police accountability and to what degree there is a system of checks and balances here in Buffalo to monitor and hold a police accountable when there are allegations of misconduct. Charlotte Keith and I are working to wrap up a series that will hopefully publish statewide next month, looking at economic development subsidies under Andrew Cuomo.
Oh, that sounds rather timely.
Yeah. Kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly of what's transpired the last 6 months, and we're doing that with ProPublica and some folks from the Columbia Graduate School of Journalism.
We're going to be talking about that on this show. Yes.
Oh yeah, there's going to be a lot to talk about. It's one of the things that that I'm working on right now is one story that's really looking at the outcomes. Let's forget about are the strategies good or are they bad? Is there transparency or isn't there? Just what is the outcome? How well is the upstate economy doing as measured by job creation? By comparison with downstate or neighboring states or states around the country. And that compare and contrast is going to be very interesting.
I'm looking forward to it. We are speaking with founder, executive director, and editor of Investigative Post, Jim Heaney. To read about the issues that we've been talking about, visit investigativepost.org. Jim, looking forward to talking to you again. Thank you.
Take care.
Support for the Capital Press Room with Susan Arbetter comes from nyup.com, the website for and about upstate, the beauty, adventure, sports, characters, and conversation that make upstate New York unique. Created by upstaters for upstate. More at nyup.com.